Good afternoon, and welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. My name is Marcus Peter. I'm filling in for Al Cresta. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the host of Unveiling the Covenants here at Ave Maria Radio. I'm a scripture scholar and evangelist. I also function as the director of marketing here at Ave Maria Radio. Proposed legislation in California would make assisted suicide available to patients with early and mid-stage dementia while dropping a required waiting period. We are joined to talk about exactly this with Wes Smith. Wes is the chair and senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, and he is a consultant to the Patient Rights Council. He's also the host of the Humanize podcast, and he's the author of 13 books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine. You can follow him on Twitter at The Wesley J. Smith, and check out his articles at National Review, First Things, and more. Wes, how are you doing?
Marcus, good to talk with you.
Likewise, it's good to talk to you as well. Now, Wes, this is an alarming trend. We've seen this on the rise. We know that this is the byproduct of the logical byproduct of cutting God out of society, but we're really seeing this push towards assisted suicide and euthanasia ramp up. It seems like the abortion thing, it's still there, we're fighting it, but these are the two new faces of the denigration of the right to life that are really ramping up in prevalence here in the Western civilization.
Yeah, you know, what's going on is I think that for many people, the ultimate purpose of society has shifted from protecting innocent life or promoting righteousness to eliminating suffering. And that quickly morphs into eliminating the sufferer.
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout the Western world, the Netherlands, Canada, most alarmingly, they're our closest cultural cousins, Belgium, and other places, Spain, etc., euthanasia, lethal injection euthanasia, has been legalized. And as soon as these laws, including the laws in the United States, which are for assisted suicide, not lethal injection, as soon as they're passed, the guidelines that they promise will protect against abuse are redefined into obstacles, and the effort begins to loosen those guidelines and allow a broader array of killing. And in the United States, virtually every state, I think 10 states have legalized it by statute, and the District of Columbia, in virtually every one of those jurisdictions, already we've seen a loosening of laws, and this California proposal would do away with the terminal illness condition altogether.
And you know, that's alarming in and of itself. It's also horrifying to think about. Just 3 days ago, the New York Post wrote about a Dutch woman. She's 28 years old. Otherwise, she's physically healthy. She lives in a small village in the Netherlands. She lives near the German border. And she decided, she has opted for ending her life, assisted suicide. And so she's made arrangements. The report does not say that she has therefore ended her life. She's 28. She has a boyfriend. She has two cats. She's otherwise healthy. But because her doctors told her, she has crippling depression. And her doctors told her, it's not going to get better. We can't do anything more for you. And so she decided, well, then it's time to end my life. It's become this kind of social contagion. And that's really unfortunate, because the more we report about these things, the more these become seeds within the society to engender a kind of movement of acceptance, if not firm motivation towards the issue.
Yeah, suicide, it's already been demonstrated, is contagious.
Right.
And that's why the World Health Association, our World Health Organization, sorry, WHO, that I'm not generally a fan of, but they have published media guidelines on how you should report about assisted suicide. And what you don't do, according to these media guidelines, because it is contagious, is romanticize suicide, describe the details of the suicide, and so forth. Well, in the Netherlands and Belgium, the mentally ill are allowed to have euthanasia. And again, it's not suicide, it's homicide. It's not murder because it's legal, but it's homicide. It's lethal injection.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Netherlands and Belgium, and in Canada, which does not yet allow mental illness, it's supposed to have already gone into effect, but they paused it until 2027,
mm-hmm.
They can join the killing of mentally ill people with organ harvesting, so that there's actually a potential tipping point here where a suffering mentally ill person could say, you know, I'm finding no meaning in my life, but people could benefit from my death, and that could actually be what pushes people into the decision to be killed.
Right, right. I mean, you just have to read about how this young woman is speaking about her impending suicide. Well, homicide, I guess you could call it, because the doctor's going to be the one to do it. She's talking right. about how they're going to have a cup of coffee. And so the attempt to soften and humanize what is inherently recognizable as abhorrent. And that's the only way to get something this tremendously grotesquely evil propagated into the public sphere. And SB 1196 is no different, replacing the terms terminal illness with a grievous and irremediable medical condition. Tell us why that distinction, that change, is so crucial and why it's so massively problematic.
Well, you've got a situation in that proposal that says not only are we not going to make it terminally ill, but they say the suffering is intolerable to the individual and cannot be relieved, quote, in a manner the individual deems acceptable. Meaning you might have all kinds of medical means by which a suffering that someone is experiencing with a non-terminal illness, disabilities, things of that sort, can be ameliorated, but if the patient doesn't want it and wants to be dead, well, then fine, we'll make the patient dead.
Right.
And it's a gross abandonment. People who ask for assisted suicide, and there have been thousands in this country. In Canada, it's 13,000 last year were euthanized, and this year I think it's going to become, they believe, 16,000. They're not offered suicide prevention. They are offered in Canada, for example, Let Us Have Your Liver, the organ donation organization in Ontario. Once somebody has been accepted for euthanasia, the doctor will contact the organ donation organization, and the organ organization will contact the patient to be killed and ask for their organs.
Right.
None of them are offered suicide prevention. So what you have is a dichotomy of care. Certain people are being redefined as having lives not worth living and not worth protecting, while, let's say, teenagers or veterans will be offered suicide prevention, you know, veterans with PTSD. Mm-hmm. Although in Canada, there were veterans with PTSD who were offered euthanasia.
And see, Wes, this flies in the face of what hitherto has been the fundamental driving force of medicine, which was to do no harm. The
Correct.
Entire enterprise centered around the fact that we are here for the preservation of human life to that extent which is reasonably possible. Now, however, you've got doctors willfully saying that they don't hold to the Hippocratic Oath the same way because do harm medicine is the advent of today.
Yes, that's the reason I wrote the book. And over the last 20 years, you've seen a slide into medical interventions that have now been normalized or made the standard of care that actually harm bodies instead of help them.
Right. And the whole transgender phenomenon is it's a can of worms we don't want to open right now, but that feeds into or is born out of that movement. So going back to another article you wrote about how Hal Malko, 72 and still very much capable of serving the world, is flying to Switzerland. And Politico not only publicizes this, just based on the guidelines you mentioned by the WHO, you would think that this would be reported in a more reasonable and reductionistic manner. But it seems like it's aggrandized.
Yes, and the idea here, I believe, is to normalize this as the proper way to die.
Mm-hmm.
And why might people want that? Well, think of the money that can be saved if you don't have to treat people with terminal illnesses or chronic illnesses or long-term disabilities.
Right.
The Canadian press is already talking about the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been saved in Canada because of euthanasia, which will only grow more as they, you know, liberalize who qualifies. And in Canada, in Canada, you've had people who have been unable because of the socialized medical system there to access oncology care, people diagnosed with cancer, who, because it took months, decided on euthanasia.
Right, right. And therein lies the problem. There is a kind of statistical facticity that the last 2 years of your life become the time where statistics are showing that it typically becomes the time where most people access the most medical care in their entire lifetime. But none of that speaks to the fact that, therefore, the infinite value of that human life has now been denigrated. So we've reduced human beings to these ones and zeros. Socialized healthcare really doesn't help the matter one bit, because Canada gets to go down this route precisely because healthcare has been socialized.
And you also have the problem of forcing doctors who dissent from this view to do it and participate.
Right.
The medical conscience issue is very, very important. And doctors are now being forced to participate in the taking of human life in Canada. Either they have, if a qualified patient in Ontario, for example, contacts the doctor asking to be killed, the doctor says no, then the doctor could face medical discipline unless that doctor procures another doctor willing to kill that patient. You had Catholic doctors who actually, and other doctors who believe in the Hippocratic value system, brought a lawsuit, and they said, look, in Canada, the charter, which is like our constitution, protects the conscience and religious values of the people of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said, yes, that's true, but the people of Canada also have a right, which is not in the charter, to access any medical care that's legal. And so the religious freedom of these doctors was sacrificed on the altar of euthanasia.
Right, right. On the altar of euthanasia and a poorly applied constitutional principle. So going forward from there, this whole attempt at taking something that is ostensibly radical and trying to normalize it, soften it, and even humanize it, there are going to be long-lasting repercussions on the society. So we're already seeing some of that. So tell us about that.
Well, suicide is in a crisis state in the West. In fact, it's considered a mental health crisis. There have now been studies, just as an example, that say that the legalization of assisted suicide and its advocacy actually have an impact on increasing suicide overall.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the poisoning and the corruption of vital statistics. So in the United States, in most states, if somebody dies by assisted suicide, it's not considered suicide, because the doctor will lie on the death certificate and say that the cause of death was the underlying condition. That
Wow.
patient did not die from the underlying condition and may never have died from the underlying condition, because sometimes people who are diagnosed as dying don't.
Right, exactly. And if not for the medical intervention that brought about the cessation of their life.
Yes.
Well, it's been a joy speaking with you, Wes. Been talking to Wes Smith, Chair and Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, Consultant to the Patient Rights Council. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta on Cresta in the Afternoon.